Good morning. This is Bill Cimino, and I'm interviewing Eason Bennett on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. This interview is taking place on July 1st, 2025 at the Amelia Island Museum of History, located in Fernandina Beach, Florida, as part of the Library of Congress Veterans History Project. Assisting me is Kathy Prudhomme from the Cross the Line Foundation. Eason, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
My honor.
Let's get started. Tell me a little bit about where you're from and what led you to joining the military in 1951.
Billy, I was born and raised on Amelia Island, 1929. In fact, there was only one doctor on this island, old Dr. Humphrey. Wally Humphrey Hospital is named after him. It's all been torn down now. And I lived there. Well, I got called to duty from a draft board in the January of 1951. I got my draft notice to be drafted in the U.S. Army. And they put us back then. I had a little commute bus that went from Fernandina to Jacksonville. We put the guys on the bus. Took us over for our physical in Jacksonville and bused us here to Columbia, South Carolina, where I did my basic training. And I was honored to go serve my country and all that good stuff.
Could you have chosen another branch? Or
well,
was the
at
Army
that time, Billy, my brother, I wasn't, you know, really into much in the military, because my brother had already got out of high school and joined the Navy, you know, him and his buddies. I just kind of waited it out and then finally got my draft notice, you know. Early January of 51. Yeah. And did all the basic training in Fort Jackson. In fact, I helped train the next group that came through, because the guys I took training with already got shipped over to Korea. Some went to Germany, you know.
But so the Korean War had already started.
Oh, yeah, oh, yes. It started in 1950. Yeah. So I got over there. Am I getting ahead of it or what?
No.
I got over there in the late spring of 51, during the monsoon season, raining like crazy. But later on that winter, I said, what's a Florida boy doing in Korea? I haven't seen snow in my life.
Yeah. January is a little bit chilly. So what was the hardest thing for you to adapt to? Well, first off, let me ask you this. What did your family think about you being drafted at that time?
Well, like I say, my brother was already in, so they just wished me well, you know, and glad and they wished me well going overseas and all that good stuff, and hope I returned safely and all that stuff.
Did you know when you went to Fort Jackson that you were going to be going to Korea?
Not really, Billy. Well, I knew the Korean War was already on. See, for some reason they kept me and this other guy. We helped train the next group that came through. When I got acting sergeant band, when I took base, you got like a squad leader, you know. And I had a little platoon leadership or whatever, so they kept me to help train the next group come through.
Yeah,
this other guy.
You were a sergeant before you got out of, like, before you
got
to Fort
Jackson? I didn't make sergeant until, like, got overseas.
Okay.
Became platoon sergeant. I went overseas, buck private, and came back E6, which is platoon sergeant, you know.
So you went directly from Fort Jackson
to
Korea.
Yeah, we shipped back then. They were still using troop ships, you know, from leftover World War II.
Okay.
So I shipped out from San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And stopped in Hawaii, picked up more troops, and barely Yokohama, Japan. And then put us on a train, took us down to southern Japan, Busan, and went across there to Korea. I mean, we landed in Busan, on the southern tip of Korea.
Let's go back to Fort Jackson a little bit.
Yeah.
We're gonna just kind of slow roll this till we get to Korea.
Yeah.
So what was your initial training like at Fort Jackson? Just regular basic training?
Yeah, regular basic infantry training, you know.
You are 11. Did they have military occupational skills in? So you were 11 Bravo as the infantryman? Or
yeah, you could got other skills, I guess, but you could have been a rifleman, a sniper, or machine gunners or whatever, and I was just supposed to be a squad leader, you know, help train the other guys come in. Yeah.
What was it? What was some of your memories of Fort Jackson, just in general?
Probably the most, Scott could probably tell you this, so it's called Tank Hill. It's about elevation, about like that, up and down that, but a full Army, well, you know, Army gear. up and down sure. Tank Hill in the summertime, and it was hot, brother.
Yeah, yeah. I was at Fort Benning, so we had a
different
hill there.
Oh, you were at Fort Benning. Yeah.
So the initial training from base training, were some of the other guys, were all the guys that you were with in Fort Jackson all going, getting sent out to Korea?
Well, some went to Korea, Billy. Most of them went to Korea. A few went to Germany, you know, at that time. They still have troops going to Germany. But most of the guys that I took basically with went Korea,
and
you
they
know.
Knew. How was the feeling of that? And everybody.
Well, you
that
missed
the other
guys you already took basic with, you know. It's pretty, you know, seeing, you know, farewell, hope to see you again. But I only got to see, when I came back to the States, a couple of guys that I served with during Korea, you know. And one was out in California, and another guy was North Carolina. But that's the only two guys I ever met up with after I got back, you know. Because we scattered all over the country, some didn't make it back and all that, you know.
What was the hardest part of the military for you to adapt to?
Probably the cold weather. Like I say, it was like way below zero in northern, you know, get on up the mountains. It's all mountains in Korea, you know, good. Snow 6 or 8 feet deep, and you're sleeping out in the elements. I mean, that's where you're living, man, you know.
Yeah, yeah. had you been out of Florida before you got drafted? You were 21 years old when you got drafted.
Yeah.
So had you been out of Florida before, or was that the first time?
First time going to South Carolina. That was the first time I left the state, you know. Where I've been going to Georgia a few times, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they made you an infantryman.
Infantryman. I enjoyed it.
How good of a shot were you?
What's that?
How good of a shot were you with the rifle?
Well, my dad was a hunter, so I went hunting with my dad all the time. I had a pretty good eye. Not no sharp shooter, but.
So we're talking, so we started in January. So at what point did you leave? Do you remember what month you left for Korea?
Let's see. I went to Jacksonville, got on a train. I took a train all the way to Oakland, California, back in those days. And waited around in a holding area until they put us on a ferry boat, took us down to San Francisco to get on the troop ship. That must have been I arrived over there in the latter part of, I must have got to Korea and stop and think. See, must have been around July, August, something like that.
Okay, so it was hot.
Something like that.
It was probably hot.
It was during the monsoon.
Yeah.
Because it took us 20, because we stopped in Hawaii and picked up some more troops, you know. And we could see all the bright lights. They didn't give us no pass to go aboard. Everybody's tongue was hanging out wanting a beer.
Yeah. See, got to Korea in July. July of 51.
Somewhere like that.
What was your first, like, initial duties when you got to Korea? Do you remember what unit were you in?
Oh, yeah. See, when I arrived in Korea, they were still using the trains like they did in World War I. They put us on a freight train, and we landed across from Sasebo, Japan, over to Busan. We had a little bivouac area there. They loaded us up on a freight train and took us up close to the 38th parallel, you know. And from there, the pitch of the black night, they escorted me on up to my unit, which I joined up with it. Going up these mountain trails, pitch black. And first time, I said, holy moly, what am I in for? And I said, I joined up with the 31st Regimental Combat Team attached to the 7th Division. 7th Division came out of Fort Ord, California, and they don't even have a 7th Division anymore. They just don't even have the colors anymore. Disbanded, you know. But it came out of Fort Ord, California, 7th Division. In fact, before I got over there, 7th Division helped bail out the 1st Marine got trapped on. You ever heard of the Frozen Chosen?
Yes. Yeah,
in my
absolutely.
Division, because I was after I got over there. I mean, before I got over there. And my division went and helped bail out the 1st Marine Corps Division. That's when the Chinese came across, you know.
Yeah. Were you sleeping in the field at that time, or were you sleeping in a barracks?
One time I slept on a army cot was when I left Busan. That was the last time. Till we went change position, we go back to the rear about every 3 months and get a change of clothes and all this, get sick, finally take a shower, and
Okay.
That's the only time you slept on the army cot. Most of the time you're in a sleeping bag or sleeping on a blanket or whatever.
Yeah. So yeah. What were some of your specific duties?
Well, after I became platoon sergeant, see, we were mostly a recon outfit. In fact, I was telling Scott, I had the honor to serve with my company commander, Sergeant Lieutenant McGuire. He had all kind of articles wrote about him in the magazines back in the States. One of these gung-ho kind of a... So I had the honor to serve with him on one patrol, you know.
That was your captain?
He was Lieutenant McGuire. He probably made captain later after he came back to the States, you know. But he was one of these gung-ho real... Protect the troops and all that, you know.
How long did it take you in Korea before you made, what was it, E5 in Korea?
I made E6. Well, I started out corporal, then went to sergeant, then to E6.
Okay.
Yeah. Before I left. In fact, they offered me master sergeant to stay 3 more months. I said, now I'm ready to get back to the States. The same thing when I got back.
You would have had to stay 3 extra months in Korea.
Yeah, I had 3 more months, yeah.
Wow.
But see, I got out 3 months early when I came back because I was drafted for 2 years. And I'm just laying around Fort Jackson. They finally gave me an early discharge. I got out 3 months early, you know.
Was that like the normal time frame to make sergeant during the Korean War?
Well, I guess it was depends on your company commander in the platoon. I mean, platoon sergeant before me, Sergeant DeMero. He's the one that recommended me when he came back to the States, Sergeant DeMero.
Okay.
So he recommended me to become platoon sergeant, you know. And that was quite an honor, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a short period of time.
You got to have respect for all your friends, your buddies around you, and all that good stuff.
That's a short period of time to make. And you were a sergeant first class when you left, or where did
yeah,
you...
Yeah, came back E6, which is... 3 up, 2 down.
E6. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the conflicts in the Korean War that you served? If you want to go
with your
mind.
I guess the worst thing comes to mind, Billy, would be on a recon, we got caught in between two ridges, mountain ridges, crossfire, you know. And we was out on we all went out to try to hunt the hot spots, you know, where a lot of the Koreans were hiding behind the ridges mm-hmm. and mountains or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. this recon type duty. And we got caught out in the open field there and they opened fire on us. And we lost 2 of our comrades. And we had to go back the next night. We know we don't leave nobody on the field. You recover the bodies. So we went back the next night, recover the bodies. And the Koreans had the bodies booby-trapped, like a light went off. As soon as that happened, they opened fire again, you know, crossfire and all this. But luckily, we got the bodies on there. Took 2 cots with us, you know. What do you call them? The carry...
Litters.
Yeah. He was able to retrieve the bodies and bring them back, you know.
Did they
survive? We didn't lose nobody doing that. No. That was about the most hairy experience I ever had, I guess.
How often did that occur? Like, how often did you guys do patrols, recon patrols?
Probably every other week or so, I guess, you know, depending on orders come from back in the rear, you know. When we go out, they'd send the info back to the field artillery back in the rear. They said they would shoot the hot spot, you know, with artillery.
And what was it like with the downtime, that 1 week period in between? What did you do?
You kind of just...
Clean your weapon.
Clean your weapon and think about getting back home.
Yeah. Just relax.
Yeah, right.
Getting dried
up.
But
about every 3 months, it set us back to the rear. We could shower up and get new clothes and clean up and all that good stuff, you know. Yeah, and it sent you right on a different front, you know. Because I got wounded on Heartbreak Ridge when I got shrapnel in the legs. In fact, we believed... 2nd Division, they got tore all 2 pieces. I don't think there was a tree left on Heartbreak Ridge.
How did you get wounded?
Shrapnel came through. We jumped, but luckily the mortar rounds came in. Buddy and I, we jumped back in the bunker, you know. And the mortar round shell fragments came through the opening and got me in the legs and all that.
How did your buddy make out?
He didn't get a scratch on him. I'm sitting in front of him.
My lucky.
Motor round step.
Lucky.
In fact,
him.
We lost three or four of my buddies so there because they had it pinpointed right on the trail, you know. Luckily, our bunker was right there, and we were able to jump back in it, you know. Yeah, got it.
Tell me a little bit. You said you had a Bronze Star or a Stars Award awarded to you.
I don't know what that was from. Charlotte, she looked up. You have a copy of my DD-214?
Yeah, I do. Somewhere in here.
I don't know what that is. That's something to do with the Korean government, I think. I never got, I wasn't awarded no Bronze Star or nothing.
Ah, okay.
Something they call it a Bronze. I don't know what that
is. Bronze Service Stars.
Bronze, it must have been from the Korean government, or it could have been from our government. I don't know.
Yeah, two service medals that just for the combat.
Yeah, yeah. Because I never really, Bronze Star medals are regular Bronze Star, you know.
No, your 214 says that.
I didn't get one, Billy.
We'll have to call the Army.
The Korean, when I came back to the States, the Korean president at that time sends a medal that says it's Korean to all the guys that served over there, you know. And I received that in the mail. In fact, one of our members, Pat Beamer, just passed away. You remember Pat Beamer, don't you?
I know
he just passed away here a few months ago.
Yeah, I know the name.
And in fact, he helped me receive that. He heard something about it, you know. So the government of Korea, I've been out of our army for 40 years. They finally sent me that medal, you know.
After you got the Purple Heart, after you got this shrapnel in your leg, did you come back to the States at that time?
I stayed back in the rear for about two or three days and went straight back to the front. It wasn't that serious. It was just a lot of shrapnel, and they picked it all out. And
it sounds pretty serious. I don't know if I want shrapnel in
my
leg.
I could have lost a leg if it had been a direct hit. Like I say, that we lost some of my buddies that same attack, you know. The Chinese or Gooks, whatever, they were pretty sharp with those mortar rounds. Yeah, God.
So, tell me, in your time in Korea, what were some of your best assignments and some of your worst? What would you say were your best, and what would you say were your worst?
Best? Probably we was coming back from the front one time, headed back to the rear in a convoy, and there was a big open body of water out there, like a small little lake. And our company commander stopped the convoy, and everybody jumped back. We went buck naked into the lake. that was the only
good memory.
That was the only good time I could think of.
I think you probably covered the worst.
Yeah,
that's good. That still makes you laugh.
Yeah, that was unreal, man. That was holy. You're talking about a bunch of guys running into that water, like a bunch of ducks. Yay!
Korea, it's probably cold too. God.
Well, that hadn't be in the warmer weather then. That time, we couldn't have done that in the wintertime. No.
You kind of hit. I could imagine what some of your worst assignments were.
Well, the worst one was like that. When we recovered the bodies of two of our comrades, you know, because they laid out there, you know, all that day, you know, and that night, later on that night we went, or was it the next night? I can't remember. But anyways, we recovered their bodies, and then, like I say, they had them booby trapped. We went to move them, and like a little flare went off, you know, because they already had it zeroed in, you know.
Yeah.
But it must have been some bad shots at all, like I said.
Yeah, bad artillery, bad artillery rounds.
Yeah.
That's not good. About how many recons do you think you did in the whole time you were in Korea?
All together, probably half a dozen or so, or 12 maybe. I can't keep up with it. But
yeah, that was a lot.
Seek and search, search and seek. The hot spots were called the information back to the artillery in the rear, you know. Because as soon as we did, you could hear the outgoing artillery over our, where we were, you know, firing back on the enemy, you know.
Yeah.
Now, the mortar round, you don't hear nothing. All you hear is a swoosh, and it's over with. Incoming, you know. Now, outgoing, you can hear, you know, outgoing noise on the mortar, the artillery in the rear and all that, you know. Yeah.
You still got a pretty vivid memory of all that.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like
it'll sing to you at night, but they can do it day or night, you know, firing on positions, you know.
Tell me a little bit about any supervisors that might have significantly impacted you. Like you mentioned Lieutenant McGuire.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Sergeant DeMario.
Probably my platoon sergeant, Sergeant DeMera. He was a Bostonian where he was from. Here I'm a Southern boy, so we got along great. Well, you know, you've been.
You guys had the same accent, probably. So
yeah. A lot of people couldn't tell. Even though I was born right here in Fernandina Beach, a lot of people couldn't tell where I was from. I didn't really have no Southern accent, you know. Yeah. So I was a mystery man.
Yeah. So how long did you spend with Sergeant DeMario?
Before he came back in the States, probably about 6 months, maybe, something like that. Because he was already over there, you know,
when
I got over him. And like I say, I had the honor to serve with Lieutenant McGuire. And I got one recon with him. Like I say, he had a lot of write-ups and magazines back in the state. He's one of the gritty, tough old company commander, you know.
Yeah.
Like George Patton.
So did Sergeant DeMario make it home?
Oh, yeah.
Do you still have, well, I'm not going to ask you, do you still, because you're getting up there in age. You're a young 93.
I'm still a young buck.
You're a young 93.
I'll be 96. No,
96.
I'm ready to skydive.
I wasn't guessing anything over 91.
I'll have to buy you a beer.
So when you did come home for a while, did you remain in contact with anybody?
Just the two guys, Billy. In fact, I moved back to California when I came. I lived out in California about 25 years. See, I lost my little black book with all the phone numbers after I left California, but luckily I found the one when my buddy lived in San Francisco, so I got to meet up with him. Then after I came back to Florida, a guy from North Carolina looked me up on the job site. That's the only two guys I really served with that got to, you know, and communicate with and all that. Long time ago. Yeah.
So I know, like, Vietnam had a difficult time coming back. What was the homecoming like when you came home from Korea?
They flew us. See, when I came back from overseas, we put back on a troop ship again. So I left out from Incheon, Korea, went around the Horn, back around to Sasebo, Japan, and loaded us up on troop ships, and we left there and went to Hawaii, coming back, dropped off some troops. They gave us a six-hour pass. We went in and slamming some beers, me and my buddy.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the left there came into Seattle, Washington, Fort Lewis. And we stayed there overnight, and they flew us back to Columbia, South Carolina. And I just waited around. So like I said, they went ahead and gave me an early discharge. Because they wondered if I was going to stay in the military. And I wasn't military-minded then, you know. But I was active reserve for about a year or so. So I moved to California, and then I got inactive. I can probably kick my butt for not staying in. But later on, the Vietnam War broke out, you know, and I'd probably been one of the first ones to go. Just to be a platoon sergeant and all that. But, you know, it all worked out. Yeah. It was a great honor, you know, to serve. That's damn sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, how has the military, like, what did you do when you got out of the service, what did you do?
I came back to, Fernandina, went to work for, you know where the paper mill is across the region?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I worked there 1 year in the paper mill. And my wife and I, we uprooted and went back to California. That's where her family was living. That's how I ended up in California. And stayed out there about 25 years. And I got in construction work and all that.
Was your wife from Fernandina?
No, she was Rochester, New Yorker.
Oh, where'd you meet her?
Her family moved down here for a couple of years. And her dad was always a businessman. And he from the dead. Then he uploaded here and moved to California. So we got back together and all that good stuff. Got married.
So after the paper mill, what did you do?
I went to California. See, my father-in-law, he was always a businessman. He never worked with nobody in his life. And so that's why I went out to work for him. He had laundromats. He had all kinds of different businesses. But I was more, I worked construction since I was in high school. You know, my uncle built a lot of place on the island here, you know. And so I got in back into construction, stayed out there, worked all over San Francisco Bay Area, you know. Yeah, I enjoyed.
How do you feel the military impacted, just your feelings towards the military in general, and then your feelings towards war in general, since you served in a war?
Well, Korea was called a police action. They didn't really call it no war, you know. It all was a stalemate, went right back, when I left, it was right back on the 38th parallel, where it all started.
Yeah, you know. Separated.
They called it a police action. Same way with the Vietnam, you know, Vietnam was called, what was they called?
Conflict.
Conflict or some bull crap, you know. But I had an honor, you know, serving. When I did serve, you know, when I do something, I'm going to do it right.
Very proud of your service, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You meet so many good, you meet so many good guys, man, you know, from all over the country. Yeah. Every part of the country, you're going to. Yeah.
What brought you back to Fernandina?
My family and all was still here. And that was, my roots were right here, you know, after I left. Mm-hmm. And I lived there 1 year, like I say, with the paper mill, and uprooted and went to California. In fact, my first daughter was born here at the old Humphrey Hospital. It's all been torn down now. When I moved to California, she was only about 2 months old. I'm going to tell her age. She's 71 now.
Wow.
I'll be seeing them here tomorrow. I'll be leaving out tomorrow, headed to California. Yeah.
So what life lessons did you take from your time in service that you'd be willing to share with us?
God. Life lessons.
Tough question.
Respect the guys you serve with. And the country you serve with. What else? All that good stuff. Just be proud to be American, you know. That's the main thing.
Well, Eason, this really concludes our interview. If you have anything else to add, is there anything else you'd like to share before we close out?
Well, I just hope, you know, pray everything keeps settled over in the Mideast. Everything. And get our country turned back around again like it's supposed to be, you know, all this too much infighting, you know. We're all Americans.
Yes, sir.
And make it one great country again, like President Trump's talking about.
Yeah. So, well, Eason, thank you for your service to our country. Thank you for sharing your story.
And your name is?
Kathy.
My daughter's Kathy.